What will matter about you forever is not how many people know your name, not how many people will follow you on social media, not a list of great things that you may have accomplished. It is the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. And Colin, we may have someone listening today who says, well, if a relationship with God is so important, I've got to know what that looks like. I don't. Or at least I'm not sure that I do. Or maybe we even have somebody listening today who says, I know I don't have that. What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say first, I'm so glad you are listening today, because there is something very, very, very wonderful indeed that you can discover. You know, there is a Savior who is the best friend you can ever know. And he's able to bring light and love and peace and joy into your life. He already knows you, and he wants you to come to know him. And Jesus Christ came into the world so that we could know God, and so that we could walk with him, so that we could have a relationship with him. We're going to look in the scriptures today at what that looked like for one person a long time ago. But the really good news is that this relationship of walking with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is possible for you today.
Well, we're going to look at this from the book of Hebrews. If you can, grab a Bible, join us in chapter 11. We're going to be focusing on verses 5 and 6 as we begin a message called Faith Walks with God. Here is Pastor Colin.
Please open your Bible at Hebrews and chapter 11 as we continue our series entitled Living by Faith. Hebrews 11, as we've seen and as we just heard, begins by telling us what faith is. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the hoped for things that we are sure of are the things that God has promised. The unseen things that we are convinced of are the things that God has revealed. So we have seen that faith believes what God has revealed and trusts what God has promised. Now, what does it mean for us then to live by faith? Well, in this chapter, God teaches us by pointing us to real life examples of faith in action. And each of them in this chapter really highlights a different aspect of faith. Last week, we looked at the story of Abel that highlights the great truth that faith listens to God. He was commended as righteous because of the sacrifice that God accepted. He offered a firstborn lamb from the flock. A life was laid down in his place. And Abel's sacrifice, of course, points us forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Offering a lamb was a sign that Abel trusted the promise of God. And that promise, of course, was fulfilled when Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross. God gave his one and only Son as the sacrifice for our sins. And we saw that Abel knew that a life needed to be laid down because God had revealed that way back in the garden when he made garments of skins to clothe Adam and Eve. God revealed the acceptable sacrifice, and faith listens to what God has revealed. Now, Hebrews 11 really paints a picture of what this life of faith looks like, and each of the characters, as it were, adds more color, fills out the picture of a life of faith. And today we come to the story of Enoch, where we learn that faith walks with God. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, the story of Enoch is found all the way back in Genesis and chapter 5, and you might like to turn back to that first book of the Bible with me now. God records there, you will see, the generations, 10 generations, from Adam to Noah. 10 are recorded, and we will look, God willing, at the story of Noah next week. Here we read about Adam and Seth and Enosh and Kenan and Mahalalel and Jared and Enoch and Methuselah and Lamech and Noah. Two questions. First, why are these names recorded? Well, if you were to look at the end of Luke chapter 3, you will see that precisely the same list of names is recorded, and that these are the line of descent into which the Lord Jesus Christ was born. In other words, and this is very important, what matters about each of these men is their relationship with Jesus. I mean, what do we know about Jared? What do we know about Enosh? I mean, these were unremarkable lives. No great triumphs, no great disasters, just ordinary folks of whom the thing that is of eternal significance is their relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that ultimately mattered about them. It's the thing that will ultimately matter about each and every one of us. What will matter about you forever is not how many people know your name, not how many people will follow you on social media, not a list of great things that you may have accomplished. It is the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Second question, why did they live so long? It's a very obvious question when you read from Genesis in chapter 5. Look there, the lifespans of these generations are roughly 10 times as long as a typical lifespan today. Look, Adam lived, verse 5, 930 years. Seth lived 912 years, verse 8. Enosh, verse 11, lived 905 years. 10 times as long as we might expect a lifespan to be today. And it does seem that this was God's provision for multiplying the human population in these earliest generations. After the time of Noah and the flood, what you find is that human lifespans come down very fast. It's very different. And they come down rapidly to what we are used to today. Now, these first generations then lived for very long, 10 times the lifespan that we have today before the flood. But they have one thing in common, and it's very obvious. It runs right throughout Genesis in chapter 5. Look at verse 5. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 8. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11. All the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. You read this chapter, and the phrase, "and he died," is like a grim drumbeat that relentlessly continues throughout the entire chapter. It's rather like when you're on a train, and it gets up to speed, and you have that repeating sound of the wheels clicking on the rails, you know. And then he died, and then he died, and then he died, and then he died, and then he died. It's right across the human race, with one exception in this chapter. You come to verse 24, and in the middle of this relentless reign of death, we read these words, "Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, by any standards, this is a wonderful and a remarkable story. Suddenly, there is a break in the dark clouds. Light shines into the darkness, and we have reason to hope that the reign of death may not be forever. The story, of course, points us to the marvelous hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who broke through the power of death and ascended into heaven. Now, this is the story that's before us today. I want to make a number of observations from it. The first and the most important is that Enoch walked with God. Do you see that that is stated twice in these short verses? First verse 22, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah. And then verse 24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Here's the great thing for which this man was remembered. He walked with God. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, to walk with God is very simply to live in a constant, conscious enjoyment of the presence of God. Let me suggest just five things that it involves. First, it involves peace. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, you remember. But when they sinned, they hid from him. Well, now, you can't walk with someone when you're hiding from them. To walk with God means that you are at peace with him. It means that any known sin in your life has been confessed and it has been forgiven. And you are at peace in the presence of God because you have nothing to hide from him. Second, to walk with God involves purpose. Walking always involves movement in a particular direction. If two people come to a crossroads, one wants to go one way, the other goes the other way, well, then by definition, they cannot walk together. Amos says, can two walk together? How can two walk together unless they are agreed? So to walk with God, then, is to go in the direction that he is going. So, for example, God is the great peacemaker, and when we seek to make peace, we are walking with him. God is merciful, and God is just. So when we do justly, and when we love mercy, that's when we are walking humbly with our God. Then walking very obviously involves progress. Walking isn't sitting, and walking isn't sprinting. What is walking? It is a slow, steady movement forward. And to walk with God, therefore, does not mean that you are perfect, doesn't mean that Enoch was. But if you're walking, you are making progress. That's why Paul says, I press on. I'm straining towards the mark. I'm not there yet, but I am seeking to move in the direction that God is calling me. Walking isn't always easy. If the wind's against you, you may need to lean into the wind. You may feel that you're making progress very slowly indeed, but at least when you're walking, you're moving forward. Fourth, it involves the greatest privilege. Think about this. Walking with God. Now, what could be a greater privilege than that? What could compare with the creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign Lord of the universe, who is your heavenly Father, so intensely interested in your life, so intimately involved in all that concerns you, that he would choose to walk with you? And then think of the pleasure involved. If you want to get to some place fast, go in a car. But if you want to enjoy a place, get out of the car and go for a walk. Because when you get out of the car and go for a walk, you will see things that you would not see as you're just driving by. You will smell things. You will hear things. You will touch things. Walking with God is the greatest pleasure. David says this to the Lord, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, that means more than that heaven is a place of great happiness. What he says is pleasures are found at your right hand. And those who walk with God taste these pleasures on earth before they ever arrive in heaven. So there is this conscious, constant enjoyment of the presence of God. That's what walking with God is. It is a taste on earth of the joys of heaven. It involves peace and progress and purpose and privilege and pleasure. Enoch walked with God.
We're looking at Enoch today with a message called Faith Walks with God. This is Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. We're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. If you joined us late, have to leave early, or you ever want to go back and listen to a broadcast that you may have missed, you can always do that at our website. Come to openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Enoch walked with God. Second observation, Enoch walked with God in the light of the coming judgment. Enoch walked with God in the light of the coming judgment. Now, the early chapters of Genesis really chart the growth of sin in the world and its devastating effects. Remember, Adam and Eve had disobeyed a single command of God. And you might think, well, is that really such a big deal? Well, you read the chapters of Genesis, the early chapters, and you see what a big deal it really was. Because just one generation, they give birth to this little lad, Cain, and the world's first baby becomes the world's first murderer. Now, 10 generations are recorded here from Adam to Noah. And by the time of Noah, we read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Now, Enoch was the 7th of the 10 generations from Adam to Noah. You can be pretty sure that if wickedness has absolutely filled the earth by the 10th generation, it was pretty rampant already by the 7th. And that is confirmed by a prophecy, a word spoken directly from God through Enoch that is recorded in the little letter of Jude at the end of the New Testament. Enoch was given a prophetic glimpse of the day of the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he will bring judgment, he will establish truth, right every wrong, and bring the whole world to justice. And we read in Jude that Enoch, the 7th from Adam, prophesied. And here's what he prophesied in his day, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with tens of thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, notice that the word ungodly or ungodliness occurs 4 times, because that was the environment in which Enoch lived. Enoch was surrounded by people who had no place for God, people who spoke against God, people who were defiant towards God. And that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And here's the encouragement for us, that in such a world, Enoch walked with God. That's what he did, and that is what we are called to do today. Now, Enoch did live with a profound awareness that judgment was coming, and we know that not only because of the prophecy that is recorded in Jude, but there may also be a hint of it in the name that Enoch gave to his son. A.W. Pink says that the name Methuselah, which Enoch gave to his son, can mean, "When he is dead, it shall be sent." Now, there's a strange name to give to your son. "When he is dead, it shall be sent." And Pink suggests that perhaps Enoch gave this unusual name to his son because God had revealed to him that when Methuselah died, the flood would come. And that, of course, is exactly what happened. The flood came in the 600th year of Noah's life. And if you compare that with the long years of Methuselah's life, you will see, when you put the numbers in Genesis chapter 5 together and add them all up, you will see that God sent the flood in exactly the year that Methuselah died. "When he is dead, it shall be sent." Enoch, the world as you know it is going to be washed away. And I'm going to let you in on a secret as to when it will happen. When your son dies, the judgment will come. Now, Pink asks this question. If that revelation had been given to you, what effect would it have on you? Every time the boy takes sick, you're going to say, this could be the end of the world. When he is dead, it shall be sent. You would live in the constant awareness that it could come at any time. Enoch knew that the judgment of God was coming soon. He knew that he had to be ready to meet with God at any moment. And in the light of that, Enoch walked with God. Now, do you see how that speaks to us today? Are we not in precisely the same position? It is appointed to man once to die, and after that is the judgment. And not one of us knows where that is, today, tomorrow, 10 years, whatever. Therefore, at all times, we must cling to Jesus Christ as our Savior. We must walk with God by faith so that we are always ready to meet him by sight. Enoch walked with God in the light of the coming judgment.
Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Faith Walks with God, as we've been taking a look at what it means for Enoch to have walked with God. We've seen a couple different things today, how he did walk with God and how he did so in light of the coming judgment. We're going to continue to look at some of these truths next time on the broadcast, so I hope you make it a point to tune in. We'll also see how these truths apply to us today. So if you want to make sure you don't miss it, of course, be listening on the radio, or you can always listen to each broadcast online when you come to openthebible.org. Well, John Aiello is the executive director of Open the Bible. And John, you've been here for, what, 12 years now?
12 years, Steve. It's been an absolute joy working closely with Pastor Colin, yourself, and the entire team during that time.
As you look back over the past 12 years, if you were to say, man, this is what I have seen God do over that 12-year span, what would you say is like the number one thing?
I tell you, the power of an open Bible is just extraordinary. And to see what God does through the Holy Spirit when people open God's Word, Steve, when we travel around the country and meet listeners in all different parts of this land, it's extraordinary, the experience of hearing what God does when we open His Word. And it's a joy.
It is a joy. And it's so cool to me that we get to be a part of what God is doing. And there's so many different ways that we can be a part. Obviously, we can listen, we can read the books, we can do all the things that Open the Bible is providing. But we also have the opportunity to engage in the ministry by praying for, even giving to Open the Bible. Some of you are doing that. Thank you for doing that. But John, if somebody's never given before, this is the perfect month for them to make their first-time gift.
Yeah, it is. And I appreciate that, Steve. I want to just reach out to those people. Maybe you've been learning from the program over the years, or reading the books, or investigating the website, and just growing from the Open the Bible ministry, but have never had the chance or the opportunity to give. We've had a generous donor step up and commit to matching dollar for dollar every gift given from a first-time donor during the month of July. So every first-time gift is essentially going to be doubled to the ministry. And this doesn't happen very often. It's huge for us as a ministry, Steve. And this is the time, if you're up for it, to get off the sidelines and join us if you can. It's a personal plea.
As you give that plea, we also, in addition to knowing that your gift is going to be matched, we want to say thank you with a couple things, John.
We do, yeah. So every donor who gives this month, first-time or long-time donors, is going to receive a copy of the Listener Favorites 2023. This is the most listened-to, downloaded messages from Pastor Colin this year. The first-time donors in particular, we're also going to send a free subscription to our monthly daily devotional. It's something that you can read every day to start your day with Open the Bible's content. I think you're going to love that subscription. So yeah, that's just our simple way of saying thank you.
Well, if you want to give a gift right now, whether you are a longtime supporter of Open the Bible or a first-time giver and see your gift doubled, you can reach us online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. And again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, as well as our Executive Director, John Aiello, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. How do you walk with God in a world where people have no place for God, people speak against God, and people are defiant toward God? Find out next time on Open the Bible.